right. Thank you for that, Shelley. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, and let's stand together this morning if you are able. John chapter number 15. We'll read the first 11 verses here. John chapter number 15. John 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. And let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Pray you'd bless us in the few minutes we have here this morning. Speak to our hearts, encourage us, and help us, Lord, to get the truth you have for us as we examine our lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you understand what a victim mentality is? A victim mentality means that everything's against me. Nothing is my fault, and it's always somebody else's fault. It seems our society has kind of brought that into our minds. It's like the lady years ago, she sued McDonald's because she got a hot cup of coffee and she spilled it on herself. And it burned her. And she sued McDonald's, and I think she got like a couple $100 million. I think the settlement was changed later because it was their fault because the coffee was hot. Now I do know this. When you buy hot coffee, it's going to be hot. Okay. You ever see the cup? Now it's everything's lawyers. You buy a cup and it says the beverage you're about to enjoy is hot. I got that. Okay. But that's just how we are. Everything is somebody else's fault. I'm sure all of us in the past have heard the stories about people that have robbed somebody's house and they got injured and they sue the people whose house they were robbing because it wasn't safe for them to burglarize. So we make sure our house is safe and we leave the windows open and let them, there's maps where all the money is so no one gets hurt. Just kidding. But that's just how we are. Everything is someone else's fault. In other words, none of us take personal responsibility. Over the last few weeks, we've been in a little mini-series about, I'm just calling it the spiritual diet. Having the right kind of appetites, being spiritually healthy and all that type of stuff. And I said this, we are as spiritually healthy as we decide to be. So if you were to measure yourself on a scale, your scale could be 1 to 10, 10 being perfect, you know, which no one's going to be there, by the way, and 1 being really low. Where are you on that scale? If you were honest with yourself, you said, spiritually speaking, where am I in the scale? Wherever you are in the scale, whether it's a 1, and maybe you feel pretty healthy and you'd say 9 or 10, wherever you are on that scale, there's one reason you're there. You've chosen to be there. Nobody else's fault. There is no victim mentality in the Christian life. We are where we are because we decide to be there. A lot of times, We only come to God because we need a problem solved. By the way, if you're here this morning because you've had some type of problem or something's going on in your life and you want a little help, you've made the right decision in being here. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, let's not make that the only time we come to God. If we're going to decide to be the Christian God wants us to be and grow as God wants us to grow, we have to make that decision on ourselves. And by the way, what's a good thing about that, many of the problems that we would have in our life won't happen. They'll be prevented. You know what preventive maintenance is, right? It's a lot cheaper to get the oil changed in your car every 5,000 miles or so than it is to buy a new engine every year and a half or so, okay? It's a lot better to rotate your tires and get extra miles out of them than have to buy new tires early because you didn't do that, okay? Just tune-ups and all of those things. If you practice the preventive medicine, things last longer and things are better. I've done it for many, many years now. We take vitamins, okay? What are vitamins? Vitamins aren't a cure-all necessarily, although they'll help you, but vitamins a lot of times are preventative too. They keep us from getting diseases. Now, in our text here, in the Bible, the word that stands for a blessed life, a healthy Christian life, a life that is right, would be the word fruit, fruitful. It's a sign, when you see the word fruit, that we are saved in the first place, but it's a better sign that our spiritual condition is right. It's the picture of something that's growing, whether it's a plant or tree. If it's healthy, it's going to grow correctly, and it is going to produce fruit. That is the picture in John chapter 15 of how in the picture is a picture Christ gave, and it's teaching to us how we can have fruit and how we can be healthy. And it's not a result of who we are, it's a result of who he is. Now he explains to us in John chapter 15 this process that makes us healthy and allows us to have fruit, and he calls that abiding. He pictures a vine, and here's a vine, and there's branches that come out from the vine, and the branches are bearing fruit. But the branches are not bearing fruit in and of themselves. The branches are bearing fruit because they are connected to the vine, Christ being the vine. And he tells us in verse 5 that without him, we can do nothing. And so if we're going to be fruitful, we need to be connected to the vine. That is called abiding. When we are abiding in Christ, we are connected to his life-changing and fruit-bearing power. When we are not connected to Christ, our life will not be changed and we will not bear fruit. We are kind of on our own. And anything we do isn't going to be of any real spiritual significance, and really we don't have the power we need to keep going in the first place. If we choose to abide in Christ, then we need to have a personal relationship with him. And if we have that relationship, as a natural result, we will grow. And when we choose that, we grow. On the flip side, if we don't have that type of relationship with Christ, we're choosing not to abide and spend time with him, we will not grow. We will dry up and we will die and we will not be fruitful. That's why I said earlier, it's our choice where we are spiritually. Can't blame others. So this morning I want us to understand that good spiritual health is the same as health in our life. It's our choice. It's a choice based on what are we doing in our life. If you're trying to be healthy in your life, you're going to have to make the right kind of choices. Okay? You're going to have to choose to eat better. By eat better, I don't mean you don't spill it. All right? I mean make better health choices. Stay away from McDonald's, of course. You're going to want to maybe get a little more exercise, whether it's walking around and whatever. But you're going to make choices, and those healthy choices will help you to be a healthy individual. And that's the same thing that we must do in our life. And so this morning, I want us to look at our lives, and I want us to make the right kind of choices. Your good spiritual health is a choice. As someone has said, you know, when it comes to what's going on in your life, own it. In other words, look at where you're at and just, you know, and by the way, we're so good at blaming people. Well, I'm here because you don't understand what my parents are like. I don't understand what your parents are like, but I understand this. If you know God, things can be different. You don't understand my past, and I understand some have a bad past. And by the way, if you have a bad past, sometimes there's weaknesses that'll come with that. Sometimes there's a little bit of a bent to go a certain way, but I can tell you this, the bend can be put back the other way once you're saved. Christ can change all that. But a lot of times we just anchor ourselves to that nonsense. It's so much more comforting sometimes to live off of an excuse than just to go forward for the future. Okay? If anybody's going to break the chain, and I don't mean this, you need to break the chain by getting connected with God. Let Him break the chain. Don't settle for excuses. And so let's own where we're at, spiritually speaking, in our life. I don't understand why you can have something better and you would choose something worse. I don't understand where, you know, if God says, listen, if you follow me, you won't be perfect, but you could have a better marriage, and you would choose not to follow God and have a worse marriage. You can have a bit of a better family. I can be a part of your family, or you can go on your own. You can have a better life, a life that's fulfilled, a life that has purpose, a life that has meaning, and yet we choose a life without purpose that really doesn't have much meaning except let's just get to the next day, let's make as much money as we can, you know, whoever dies with the most toys wins. Wins what? Nothing. Okay? You're going to be buried in a box like everybody else. And your box might have more cushion, but let me just tell you something. You're not going to know it. We were at a funeral when my mom passed away, and we were there picking out the casket. They actually had cardboard caskets. Okay? Now, it was a nice type of cardboard, but it's like, and I'm like, well, that's kind of cheesy. And I'm looking, and then I thought about it, I said, I'm not going to really know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just, but, so it's not about just surviving and doing the best we can until the day we die. Why don't we get what God has for us, which is better? And that's all related to our spiritual health. Just like if someone is going to be, all things being equal, I know sometimes there's just diseases and your DNA and you can't change that. But all things being equal, our health is a result of the choices we make in our lifestyles. And the same thing is going to be true spiritually speaking. So if we're going to be spiritually healthy, what are some things that I want us to look at? Let me just give you a few briefly this morning and we will be done. What are some of the healthy choices we need to make? Well, number one, common sense, we must choose to be healthy. We must choose to be healthy. Look at verse 4 again. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now he tells us the secret right there. We need to abide in him, and if we're abiding in him, he's going to abide in us. But that is our choice. We must make that choice. If not, we will not have fruit, and as he says, we'll do nothing. See, the fruit that comes in our life is an outward evidence that we are doing the things we're supposed to be doing. God produces fruit in our life. That will be in the character, the characteristics and the qualities of our life, the fruit of the Spirit, all of those things. Things that on our own are hard to do, but if we are doing the right thing with God's help, it'll be a natural outflow. But the point is, we must choose to be healthy. Let me ask you this. What are, and you know, answer it in your mind, what are the evidence in your life that you're a healthy Christian? Just think it through. Look at your life. Well, if you're living for God, now things aren't going to be perfect, but you'll know some things like, you know, things are starting to go the right direction and God's starting to do some things. What are the evidences in your life? Some people would say, well, you know, I'm here. I don't feel like I'm growing. Whose fault is that? Yeah, it's funny how sometimes people come to church and say, you know, I'm just not being fed. I'm not growing. Well, listen, that's never going to happen to me. You know, I'm never going to come back on Friday and say, you know, I haven't eaten all week. I just haven't been fed. Listen, I know where the fridge is. I know where the fork is. I know how to light the stove. I know I can cook enough to make it. And if I don't want to cook, I know where Taco Bell is or something. Okay, I'm going to be fed. I'm going to get to the food. It's going to happen. That's just an excuse. Because no one ever wants to take responsibility to say the reason I'm not being fed is because I'm not eating. You got to eat. It can't be forced down your throat. It can be served up, but you're the one that has to grab the fork. You're the one that's got to pile it in like you did on Thanksgiving, okay? I feel like I'm not growing. I'm not being fed. Remember this, church is a supplement. Your personal time with God are your meals. But if you look at your life and say, I am not happy with where it's at, then you know what you need to do? You need to start changing your spiritual diet. You need to start changing your spiritual regimen. You need to start making some changes. And by the way, let's not be like some people are, okay? They care not about their health. They have a heart attack or something, and they go to the doctor, and now all of a sudden, where's the treadmill? Right? Now, that's okay. That happens sometimes. But I think it's better to hit the treadmill before the doctor says you need to hit the treadmill. I think it's better to eat, you know, some people think salad's a sin. You know, vegetables are bad. And some of them are. Eggplant and some of those others, those need to be beets. Beets. Who likes beets? Really, they just turn my stomach. I try. But now throw down some asparagus or some... what's the other twig looking one? There's a bunch of them. They look like someone mowed the lawn, but it's good. String beans. Those are good too. Is pizza a vegetable? I sure wish it was. That'd be great, you know? Eat your veggies. Okay, pepperoni. Let's do this. But listen, we got to make right choices. I'm not saying every meal's got to be a salad, but you make the right choice. The same needs to be said spiritually. Do you choose to be spiritually healthy? Think about that. I'm not going to read it, but you look at Galatians chapter 5 where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all those things. It's fruit. It's not something we manufacture on ourselves. It's a result of what we're doing in our life. We've chosen to be healthy, and because we've chosen to be healthy, the fruit grows, and now the fruits of the Spirit will be a part of our life. Do you choose to be healthy? Number two, we must choose to see results. We must choose. What's he saying? Verse 5 again, the very end. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now there's the options. Option number one, much fruit. That's not a little, that's a lot. Okay, as you grow and the healthier you get, the more fruit that's going to come out. Or you can choose not that, and over here it says, for without me ye can do nothing. Now, what is nothing? I looked in the Greek. Nothing means zip, zilch, not a zero, Okay, nothing. No thing. What are you trying to accomplish in your life? Well, you've hit it. You are successful. Okay, thanks for coming. We need a class for people like him. He'll be the only one in it. But what are you trying to accomplish? Well, I want to be successful. What do you mean by that? Having a lot of money? You can have a lot of money and not be successful. You can have a lot of money and you look back at your life and you know what you have? Nothing. You know, someone said, you can have a home without a family. You can have a wedding ring, but no marriage. What are you trying to do? We think that we know what's right and what's best, and we strive for it, and we get it, And when we get to it, it's like, you know what? It's not what I thought it was. Listen to radio many years ago. I believe he might be a Christian now. Terry Bradshaw. He was a quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They won 4 out of 6 Super Bowls. They were talking to him. And, you know, the time, whenever a team makes the Super Bowl, I think there's like a two-week period, and there's like a lot of things going on, and, you know, they're all being interviewed, and that's like the big time in their life, and they play the game. And he said on this radio show I was listening to, he said, those 4 times when we were at the Super Bowl were the most depressing times in my life. Because I enjoyed playing football. He goes, that wasn't what life was about. Remember Walter Payton of the Bears? He played for many, many years. The Bears were always a bad team. And toward the end of his career, the Bears actually had a really good team. And they went to the Super Bowl. And they were probably one of the best teams of all time, the 85 Bears. And they won the Super Bowl. I mean, this was his lifelong goal. He had accomplished everything in football he had ever wanted to accomplish. I think he still holds record for most yards. And finally wins the Super Bowl. And after the Super Bowl was over, he went in the locker room, he showered, and got dressed quickly and left. Didn't even stick around very long. And he said, you know what? It just wasn't what I thought it would be. You know why? That's fun. But if that's what you live your life for, you get there and you know what? You look at it and say, you know what? That is nothing in the scheme of eternity.
That's right.
We stand before God. It's not going to be how many World Series we won.
Yep.
What have we accomplished? Without God, nothing. But with Him, no matter what we do, whether we're successful at work, or we just have a, you know, maybe we're the boss at work, or maybe we're just an employee. And I don't mean just an employee, because that's not a big, that's fine. We could be successful. No matter what's going on, much fruit. We must choose to see results. Number 3, we must choose to have life. We must choose to have life. Look at verse 6. He says, if a man abide not in me. By the way, if a man abides not in him, whose fault is that? That's his. He is choosing not to abide in him. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In other words, if the vine isn't right and it's not connected, it will die. Have you ever had to cut a tree where some of the branches are starting to get old? What do you do for the health of the tree? You got to cut off the old branches, because there's something wrong and they're not healthy and they're not getting what they need from the trunk. And so you cut the branches off and get rid of them. They're dead. They're worthless. If you feel that way about things in your life, it's because you have not chosen to allow God to give you life in that area. What area? And by the way, sometimes what we want is we only want God to give us blessing in certain areas, right? I mean, we had someone here years ago that wasn't coming to church. They were too busy. They wouldn't come to church, and they would still drop off their tithe. I'm not necessarily against that, but I know what the thought behind that was. I'm doing my own thing. I don't want to go to church, but I want God to bless my money. And God wants to bless, not make you rich. You're not planting faith seed, okay? That's heresy. But God wants to bless and make sure you're taken care of and wants you to trust Him. But let me say this. God doesn't want to just bless to make sure you have a place to live and all that stuff. God wants to work in every area of your life. Why would you shut that out? Well, God, here's this door. You can have this door, but this door's mine. That area dies. If you want to have life, you must choose to have life. How close are you to God? How faithful are you to Him? By the way, coming to church is a good start. Being faithful to the services, that's it. But you also need to be faithful to Him personally. You need to have a personal connection to God. We don't believe that, you know, I'll get, well, I wouldn't even try for him. You know, Robert will be connected to God. I'll connect God to Robert for him. Can't do that. All we can do is point him in the right direction. But we have to choose that on our own. Do you have life? He said, I am come that they might have life, not just life, and that they might have it more abundantly. See, if I describe my life this morning, it would not be abundant. Not chosen. He's offering it, but we must choose it. We must take it. Number four, we must choose to get answers. Now look at what the result of what happens when we get this. He says, if you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. This is one of the benefits of an abiding, healthy relationship. What does it mean? When we have needs or we need answers and we come to God and ask Him for them, we can get them. Why? Because we're connected to Him. We have a relationship with Him. Sometimes we don't get answers from God in areas where we need them because the fact of the matter is we're stopping Him from answering. Let me quote a few verses. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, "You have not." Okay, why? Because you ask not. I know this, you know, many years ago, a guy gave us a book. Pastor had read it, mentioned it many times, but I read it. The guy gave, it's called Go to Know. It was a salesman. Go for No, that's it. And he's like, he's a salesman. And he said, here's the thing. If you ask, he made it a math formula. He goes, if you ask 100 people, you know, if I'm selling something, I have to ask 75 people before I get a sale. So that means if I'm going to find someone to say yes, I have to hear 74 no's. So my goal in life is to get to those no's as fast as possible. Because if I know the 75th one's a yes, I better get through those 74 no's. Now, the point I get was this. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. Say, hey, you should ask if they'll do that. Oh, I'm not going to ask. Well, wait a minute. If you don't ask, look, if Brother Chim asked me for a raise, well, I'll help you with this. The answer is no. But if he were to ask me for a raise, what are the options? I could say yes, but I won't. But I might say no. But if he doesn't ask me, what are the options? No, right. Yeah, well, tomorrow morning I'll be busy. Just leave a message. Okay. But look, we're afraid to hear no. Listen, the only reason God doesn't hear us is simply because we don't ask. Now, it doesn't mean he always gives us what we think we need. He'll give us what he feels we need. But sometimes we don't have the things that we need that he would give us if we would simply ask him. And if we're close to him, he'll want to give us the answers. Proverbs 28, verse 9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayers. Now, this is kind of heavy. Even his prayers shall be abomination. Abomination means to hate intensely. God's simply given a principle here. If you don't want to listen to me, I'm not going to listen to you. But see, if we're connected to God and we're having that relationship with him, first of all, our prayers are going to line up with what God wants. And we'll spend time with him and we'll ask him for the things, and we know that he hears us. But the problem so often is we don't feel like God would hear us, or we feel we have to do some magical thing to get God to listen to us, is because we don't have a relationship with him. You know, if my children come up and ask me for something, I'm going to be a little more apt to give them what they want than if some kid I don't even know comes up and asks me for something. Hey, can I have $10? The answer is no. Now, if my child comes up and says, can I have $10? The answer is still no, but it'll take me longer to say it. Okay? It's going to be like, now what's it for? You know, all of our kids, whenever they do soul winning, we'd always give them $5 for dinner. Well, Emily just turned age, you know, where she gets to go Thursday night for soul winning. So her first night, she comes, hey, Dad, I need money for lunch. Give me $10. I'm like, wait. You're like that tall. You ain't getting $10. The other kids only got $5. Then it's like, well, I wanted to buy food for somebody else that didn't have money. I'm like, tell them to eat the leftovers. They're not getting any. But someone else comes, hey, give me $10 for food. It's like, no, you give me $10 for food. I would share if they need it, maybe. But look, the relationship, the closeness helps. Now, again, if you feel like, man, I'm having some issues, I need to come to God, come. But God, when you come, God doesn't want you just to come, get what you want, and bail. God wants you to stay close to him. God wants you to, he wants to hear you all of the time. Look at verse 9. We must choose to love. We must choose to love. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Then he says, continue ye in my love. Love. Continue in his love. God loves us. That's why we need to understand. What is this all about? Well, the bottom line is, this is all the things God wants us to do. The bottom line is, he loves us. That's a big deal. That should be a motivating factor. Because the fact of the matter is, the reason most of us don't want to have the right spirits, because we think God's taking things away from us. Well, if we think God's taking away things away from us that are good for us, that would mean he's unloving. Right? Is it unloving when you would prefer for your children to eat broccoli over cotton candy? Look at, cotton candy has no nutritional value. You should eat the paper cone it's on. That has more nutritional value. At least that has fiber. No nutritional value. Now, it's okay to give them a little every now and then. But listen, we want what's best for our children. Okay? And all giving them, look, you know, living on Twinkies sounds like a good idea, but that's not healthy. Look, what God gives us, we may not understand it all the time, but it is grounded in his love for us and what is best for us. But if we don't believe that, we won't do it. If we don't believe it's best for us, we're not going to follow on. Then the last thing is this. We must choose to experience joy. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Well, that's nice. God wants us to keep our joy, but he says more. And that your joy might be what? Full. Wow. God says, the reason I want to have this relationship, the reason I want to work in your life, the reason I want you to have food, the reason I want you to be spiritually healthy, because I want you to have full joy in your life. We taught on the book of Proverbs, I think it was last year, and we talked about joy. And people get confused. You can use joy or the word happiness, and I get the difference and all that. But sometimes we think that it's wrong to want to be, I'll use the word happy, but you know I mean joy. You know the difference and all that. You know, somebody said, God doesn't want you to be happy. God wants you to be holy. Like the two don't go together? The two do go together. You know? It's like, you know, God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to stay married. No, he wants both. Now, it's impossible, but God did want that originally. You know, it's like, can't you have both? Right? God wants us to have joy. And joy comes as a result of being spiritually healthy. There's no joy. Look, sometimes I understand how life works, and sometimes people have health issues, and it's outside of their scope. It's a DNA thing. There's nothing you can do about it. But the person that's miserable is a person that has health issues that are basically self-inflicted. Some of us have spiritual health issues, and the fact of the matter is it's self-inflicted. By the way, good thing about that, that can change. You know, you ever go? I had my blood work done recently. I had a lot of stuff done recently, but I had a health, and it's like my cholesterol was a little bit over. It's supposed to be, I think the high range is 200, and I was like 235. It's like, that's simple. Hit the treadmill and cut back on the Twinkies. Okay, and there you go. I'm under 200 now. I'm 199.9. I'm good. So you got to balance those Twinkies to stay right under 200. But it wasn't one of those things like you just naturally have high cholesterol, you got to take something, this or that. No, it's a health issue. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have joy in your life? Not all. I don't mean you walk around all the time giddy like, you know, dopey. Okay. Do you have joy? I believe this. I believe that if a person isn't experiencing joy in their life and they're a Christian, I think that's God's way of saying something is wrong. Not that we don't go through trials. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm talking about. Something that is deeply connected to God And even in the midst of all that's going around with me, I'm still connected to him, and I still have his joy, even if I have things I have to deal with. But sometimes we have misery in our life, and it's all self-inflicted, and God's trying to get our attention. Because this isn't the only place in the Bible where he says, I want you to have joy. Huh? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's a command. You know, God commands us to be joyful. That kind of seems hard. Hey, smile. You know, your children cry sometimes. They get in trouble. Even their grandkids are around and say, hey, stop crying. Snap out. Let's go. We're not doing that. Smile. Get to playing. They give you the fake smile because they're not happy. But God commands us to be joyful. Listen, God would not command us to be joyful if it's not something we could do. It is something we can do. But it's a result of our spiritual health. Let me ask you this morning and we're done. How's your spiritual health today? Spiritual health, just like physical health, is a choice. And here's the good thing. You say, it's not quite where it needs to be. Here's the good thing. You can get it to where it needs to be. He's the vine. We're the branches. Let's work on our relationship with him. Let's get connected to him, and let's let it work in our lives. Let's all stand together this morning.